You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. Episode 59. We're talking about one of the games that I don't know a fucking thing about, but I did homework and brought on a guest just for you people, and that is Street Fighter 2, and it's many, many, many variants. Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 2 Championship, Street Fighter 2 Ultra, whatever the fuck. We'll get more into that in a minute. I'm not a big Street Fighter guy, but my guest this week is, and I think we did your game justice, so we're going to get into that. Before I get into all that shit, you guys know I need to ramble for a few minutes, and before I get into that, I've got a special guest here for the intro this week, because he is hanging out at my house for the next couple of weeks, and that is a previous guest here on the show, and video game nerd extraordinaire, my nephew, Ben. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. If Ben sounds a little off, one of us cut the cheese moments before I hit record on the recorder, and the other one of us is stuck sitting in here breathing in the very cheese that the original one of us cut. It was me, very much. I stink. Anyway, though, there you go. That's what you guys, if this is your first time listening to the show, we're a minute, 20 seconds in, and all you've heard is me farting and talking about farts. Okay, so couple of quick things, you guys. First and foremost, the Patreon episode, the first episode for this month, is available now. It went up on Monday. It is about Octopath Traveler, the RPG for the Switch and on Windows, I think, as well. So if you haven't already checked that out and you're on the Patreon, Ben just hit his head on the microphone, I think.
Sorry.
That's okay. Swing over to patreon.com/rememberthegame or do your login thing and all your information will be there. Ben, you listen to you get the Patreon episodes. Do you listen to them? Do you watch the YouTube feed or do you have them on like a podcast thing?
The secret episodes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the Patreon ones?
Yeah.
I listen to them on YouTube.
On YouTube. Okay. So, because that's an option. So if you guys, I think I haven't got a single complaint from somebody that gets the Patreon episodes saying they can't listen. So I don't think they're hard to find. But there's a secret feed, like RSS feed you can plug into your podcast system of choice, or every month when I post them in the Patreon thing, there's a YouTube link as well, and you could watch the episode on YouTube if you're like Ben and you're I was going to say old, but I guess that's like the really young hip way to do it is watch your shit on YouTube. So it's there. Okay. So Octopath Traveler's there. Your second one is coming on August 26th. And that one will be the Q&A rambling episode for August. So if you have any, if you have any questions, any comments, any thoughts, anything you want me to say, address, talk about, shoot them to me prior to August 26th. Probably get them in by August 22nd, 23rd before I record the show. You can send them to me on Patreon by the messaging on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame or by Twitter and Instagram at rememberthegame. Shoot them to me on private message there and I'll address every single one. I don't have any right now, so please fucking send me some because otherwise I'm just going to sit here and talk to myself for 45 minutes. And if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. So two more quick things before I get on to the rest of life as far as Patreon goes. Shout out to Big Titus. If you guys have not seen the video or listened to the Octopath episode, Big Titus, one of our Patreons, won the Sega Genesis Classic. So congratulations to Big Titus. And thank you all so much for donating and getting in. We'll be back to a regular prize draw next month. And I also want to give my shout outs to the Patreons as I do every month. So same thing I did last month. If I fuck up some of these names, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. I am not an intelligent man. So quick thank yous to Alejandro, Bradley McHugh, Daniel, Brooks. I don't know if everyone wants me to say their last names, so I'm going to say most of them if I have them. Jeffrey Mathis, Luke Simpson, Mark McHugh, Nigel Nickel. I don't know how you want me to say that, but I know who you are. Thank you. Patrick J. Crossman, Sharonic, Ben and Shaley, Benjamin Barlow, Josh from the Press Start to Join podcast, friend of the show, check them out. Michael Mathis, Tyler, Andre, Todd. I'm not going to attempt to say your weird Australian last name, Todd, and fuck it up again. But it's Todd. Hey, Ben, you try. You say his name.
Okay.
It's in the box on my computer there right now. Make sure you lean into the microphone. Give Todd his shout out.
Todd OTLer.
There you go. OTLer. That's how we're saying it now. I'm 100% sure that's not fucking right. But Todd, thank you. Big Titus, thank you very much. Taco Shirt Chris, friend of the show. Dave, Joe Buck, Freezer Burnt, and Mitch C. That is all our Patreons, I believe. If I miss someone, please yell at me. If you'd like to have a shout out on the show and be entered to win prizes and get listened to bonus episodes and give me a little bit of your money, then go to patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2 a month. That's all it's going to cost to get in there. And it's worth every penny, right? I'm talking to you. Who the fuck do you think I'm talking to? There's nobody else here. You're supposed to be part of the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're goddamn right it's worth it. Jesus. You're a terrible co-host. You're just sitting there fucking staring at me. It's like you're starting to enjoy the smell of the fart that's in the room and you're just sitting there taking it in. Okay, so we did our shout outs. Thanks again, all of you, really. I do mean that very, very much. Thank you for supporting my show. Big Titus, congratulations on your Sega. Okay, now we'll get into rambling. I got a couple things and at least one of these I want to get your opinion on, Ben. Okay. I mean, feel free to weigh in on anything you want. We got 5 or 6 more minutes here to fill before I go to the show. The Edmonton Comic Expo, Edmonton Entertainment Expo, whatever you want to call it, is coming up next month here in September, or here in September, here in Edmonton in September. And a friend of mine, Nick, who's a podcast, is a podcasting nerd on his own, recommended I submit to try to do a panel at the expo. Where you can go and I believe how it works is I can go and record like a live podcast and maybe get people to come out and check out the recording and, you know, maybe I give away like a prize to people that come out to watch and then I can get my info out there and get people in. And I'm torn on it because it's a great idea and it'd be a great way to go promote the show. I could get some cheap cards made up with like info for the podcast and give them out, try to grow the audience. I'm just afraid that I'll book this panel and go to record the podcast and literally nobody will show up. And I'll just sit there in a room by myself or with me and my guest and record a podcast. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, I was talking about it with Ben here and my girlfriend last night. And my girlfriend's like, you have nothing to lose. And it'd be a great way to get some exposure. And then I said, yeah, the only thing I have to lose is my pride if I try to record a live podcast and nobody shows up for the recording. And then Ben, do you remember what you said?
I said, well, wouldn't it be funny if no one showed up? And then you got a funny story out of it.
And you're right. Like, it would be funny. It would be a great, addition to the beginning of the podcast is I could point out that I'm the only podcast in history that scheduled a live recording and didn't have a single audience member show up for it. So I'm torn. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. The deadline is August 20th, which if you are listening to this tomorrow when it goes live is in 6 days. So if you, I would say by about the 15th or 16th, if you guys have heard this episode and you have ever been to one of these expos, ever recorded a podcast, or one of them, ever gone to a panel, anything, if you're going to this year's Edmonton Expo, please message me and let me know if you think it's a good idea or not. Because the concept of it sounds really cool to me. It would really hurt my heart to try to do it out of a single person show up. That would suck. But you're right, though, Ben. It would be a funny story.
Yes,
in the end. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It'd be great. Also, on that note, we're going to try to do a couple more conversation podcasts every, you know, 5, 6, 7 episodes, I think. Try to, you know, because I'm going to run out of games. It's fucking like I'm looking at you right now, Ben. Like, it's a matter of time. I'm going to run out of games to talk about.
We're inching closer and closer.
Every week. I'm like, I honestly, every 10 episodes, I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do for the next 10 episodes? But then we come up with 10 more. So we are going to do a couple more. Like, we've done a couple in the past. If you guys go into our archive, we did, do you want a Nintendo 64 Classic and what do you want on it? We did one about Sega versus Nintendo from the console wars. They've been some of our most downloaded episodes. So obviously there's at least somewhat of a market in there for them. I have at least an idea for one more, and next week is probably going to be a conversational one as well. If there's a topic you guys would be interested in hearing about, let me know what it is, and maybe we'll look into doing that. What's your problem? Why are you making a weird face?
It just...
Was it an aftermath of the, of the fart? Okay, well, we're not going to talk too much more about farts. A news story broke today, or yesterday, I think. Yesterday. That Nintendo has apparently submitted like a patent or something for Super Nintendo wireless Switch controllers. If you don't know, on the Nintendo Switch right now, on Nintendo, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know, because I literally rant about it every 7 days. Nintendo Online, you can play NES games online. And people forever now have been like, okay, like all the good NES games are covered. Let's get some Super Nintendo games. You literally, Ben, what did you say this morning? You want to play Super Mario World?
I want to play Super Mario World.
Yes.
Because it looks good.
It is fucking good. It's the greatest game of all time. And so I've been saying it for months, where the fuck are our Super Nintendo games? And it sounds like they're finally coming. And I'm telling you right now, it makes complete sense. I've already said it before. Nintendo Online memberships are up for renewal starting next month. So it makes the perfect... It's the perfect time for Nintendo to roll out Super Nintendo games and get your money for another year. I really hope these come. I'll probably even order some Super Nintendo. I didn't order the Nintendo controllers. Yeah, I know you didn't either, Ben. Have you played? I'll ask you this because you're not old like me. Have you played? Like, do you play the NES games on your Switch at all?
No.
Now, is that just because, like, have you tried them and you're like, these suck, or are you just not interested?
Well,
I'm curious. How old are you?
I am 13.
You're 13. So you were born in 2006.
Maybe.
Which is like, what, 85, 95, 2000. That's 20 years after like some of these NES games came out. So I get that you don't have the nostalgia for them.
I played because you put out an episode about Super Mario 2.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa. So I just went and tried playing it. And I beat the first level. Also, it was so weird. It gave me very eerie vibes.
It
made me slightly uncomfortable.
It's a weird game.
I got to the second level and you had to fly on these birds and I didn't know how to do it. So I just didn't.
What I like about that is I know there's old people listening to this that love the idea that like kids today just haven't played these old games. And it's funny because these kids today will like feed us our lunch at like Fortnite. And like the popular games of today, but we're like, oh yeah, well you come play some Mario Brothers, and I'll fucking hand you your ass. But you would play Super Nintendo.
I would.
Yeah, of course you would. Because they're the better games. They're infinitely better.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're coming. I'm praying they're coming next month. Hopefully, 3 weeks from now, we have an announcement from Nintendo, and they're dropping a dozen Super Nintendo games onto our Switch. Quit fucking around, Nintendo. Also, speaking of old games, the 1UP arcade cabinets, some of the new line are available for pre-order. And I know here in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, they're EB Games exclusive. That's the only way you can pre-order them. And one of them is the Ninja Turtles one that I've talked about before. And I don't know if you've seen it, Ben, but it's like the old Ninja Turtle. Remember we used to play Turtles in Time all the time?
Yeah.
It's that game, but it's like the arcade version. And it's 4-player. And it's like a giant arcade machine that you can all stand at with like the joystick and the buttons. And it looks so awesome.
Oh. Are you gonna get it?
No, I can't. It's $550 bucks Canadian, and it's like I can't fucking. I'll tell you guys what. I'll tell you guys right now. Okay, here we go. If we can get the Patreon up to $1,000 by the end of August, I will give one away and I'll buy one.
Whoa.
Yeah, because there's no chance in hell. And listen, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh man, I should up my pledge to try to get it to $1,000. Don't try to get
you
us
should.
To. No, you shouldn't. Shut your mouth. We're not going to get to $1,000. I'm not going to buy one. And what really sucks is it doesn't sound like they're going to be for sale anywhere. It's going to be like a one-time thing. It's like your only shot at it. And they're really cool, Ben. But like, it's $550 to play two video games. And I, look it, see the little Nintendo and the little Super Nintendo over there under my television? Both those games are fucking right there that I can just play anytime I want for $550 less than that cabinet is going to cost me.
Would that even fit in this room?
Yeah, I'd make it, trust me, if I came across one, I'd fucking make it fit. But I don't have that kind of money to spend on an arcade game. I'm just curious, if you're getting them, let me know. I'm very curious to know if anyone else out there is buying them. I have some friends that are interested in them, and they're teased by them because they're up for pre-order right now at EB Games. $50, hold you one. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about before I get into what I'm playing and then the game this week, we were at EB Games, like, what, 2 hours ago?
Yes.
That store sucks.
It was cold.
Okay, okay, well, that's not what I wanted to rant about, but yeah, it was cold. It was freezing in there, but like, that store looks like a flea market. It's just crap everywhere. Well,
where I come from, out in...
You're from a small town in central BC.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
Our game store is Walmart, and they're
so,
like...
So you don't have, like, any, like, what's the word I'm looking... Access to, like, pre-played games or anything.
Yeah.
Like, you have to buy them brand new.
All the games there are mainstream, or there's a couple weird ones that no one wants to play, like Big Fish Hunt...
Those fucking shitty fishing games that nobody wants to play, but they keep making. So obviously somebody's playing them if they keep making them, but I don't know who. Or that stupid carnival game that keeps showing up everywhere. That nobody wants. Like, get the fuck out of here. But no, okay, so I understand that. Like, if you're coming from a place where you don't have access to, like, an EB Games, and you're not like me, like, I like to go digital, but you and I were talking about this morning, you still prefer, you like having the physical games, eh? Like the carts and the boxes and stuff.
They look nice.
They do look nice. I'll give you that. So we were in EB Games today, and despite the fact that it was cold, but like the store is still crap. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, there's no, you go in and like, did you see all the stuff that was in the middle? It was all like crappy t-shirts, and there's like a whole wall of pop figures that nobody fucking wants anymore. And there's a bunch of crappy video games and backpacks. And there was that Thanos glove, like this giant, and I'm not making fun of you if you've bought one, but we were looking at it and I was like, cause Ben's got some money that he saved up for this trip to Edmonton. So he could go and do some shopping at the mall and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, you should $160. You should buy this giant glove. And he was like, get the fuck away from me. Like, it's just so much garbage. Like, that store, like, they're laying people off left and right. Their stock is worthless. Their business is plummeting. And I'm not wishing for them to go out of business because I don't want to see thousands of nerds lose their jobs. But, like, it's coming. EB Games, it'll be dead. In 5 years, it'll be dead.
You keep telling me how bad it is. And I walked in and walked to the right. There were like 7 different games there, and I was like, oh my gosh, it is bad.
Yeah.
And
then, oh, yeah. Yeah, because like they have a whole wall of Xbox One and PS4 games, and then the Switch is tucked back in the corner.
The back corner next to the storage room.
Yeah, like, like people kept walking by us while we're trying to look at the games.
They're like, can I get in there for a second?
Yeah. But there was like a weird, like half assed pre played wall against the one side that had like 6 copies of Let's Go Pikachu. And then and that was it. And then a bunch of old sports games. And Ben's like, this is all they have? And I was like, I know. Okay, fuck, we're at 16 minutes. We better shut up. Whoa. EB Games sucks. Okay, quickly, what have I been playing this week? Fire Emblem. Just Fire Emblem Three Houses. I fucking adore it. I love it. I love it. Game of the year for me so far. The only thing I could see knocking it off the game of the year perch maybe is Pokemon. I adore it. I think it's phenomenal. It's a little easy. But that's okay. It's still incredible. And then Ben and I were sitting downstairs playing Tetris 99 a couple of nights, and it was awesome.
I won Tetris 99 last night.
Got your first W?
Yeah. Well, my first on my Switch.
Yeah, right. It feels good, eh?
I don't want to talk about it. That's terrible.
That's fine. But it's a good game. So Tetris 99 and Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is incredible. I love it. Buy it. If you like RPGs, you like tactical games, if you like to read, fucking buy it because it's great. Okay, good enough. What are you playing? You got 30 seconds. What games have you been playing? All right, that's it for Ben. What have you been playing?
Since I've been here, I've been taking your Switch and playing Ultimate Alliance on it.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. That's the one problem with going digital is that Ultimate Alliance is locked on my Switch, so I can't play Fire Emblem while you're playing Ultimate Alliance, and it's starting to chat my ass.
I'm like halfway through though. I think I have 3 or 4 of the Infinity Stones, and I've been playing Minecraft recently.
Again,
getting back into it
because it's awesome.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And I just got Crash Bandicoot and Rayman Legends from EB Games.
Both excellent games. We should do an episode on Crash Bandicoot on here. And shout out to Mark McHugh for convincing me to play Rayman. And then shout out to me for convincing you to buy Rayman. So shout out to Mark McHugh for convincing Ben to buy Rayman. Because it's awesome.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Oh, yeah. And fuck you, Chris, because I know you're listening to this. And I know you hate Minecraft. And you're crazy. That's for me.
I think I said on the last podcast we did how much I hate Minecraft.
But now you're back.
I was in a bad place, guys.
It's a drug. It hooks you. Okay, good enough. That's the longest intro in the history of this show. That's what happens when I have a co-host and I cut the cheese right before we start recording.
Am I the first co-host in the intro?
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah. So, well, Molly's always here, my dog. But you're a little better. You're a little better co-host than her. So, okay, good enough, guys. We're at almost 20 minutes. I'm going to shut the fuck up. We're going to get to this week's episode for the first time. We are dipping into the arcades, and I guess we're talking like Super Nintendo and Sega and every other fucking system ever, because that's where Street Fighter 2 and its many, many spinoffs are. Full disclosure, I do not know this game very well at all. Fighting games are not my jam. I suck at them, but I did play this as a kid. I do know about its legacy. I know everyone wants to hear it, so I did my absolute best to do it credit. I brought David Ray on. He's a returning guest. This guy knows Street Fighter. I think we did a pretty good job. I hope you guys enjoy it. We had fun recording it. This game originally released in arcades in March of 1991. So it is 28 years young today, or not today, in March, I guess. That was good. All right, good enough. I'm going to cue the music, and we're going to get out of here and talk Street Fighter 2. Right, Ben?
Bye, gamers.
Bye, guys. Soon. Enjoy the show. Okay, here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting is a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. Okay, a little bit of a disclaimer for this week's episode, ladies and gentlemen. If I didn't mention it in the intro, there is going to be more profanity than normal, I think. Because today, we are talking Street Fighter 2 and the many, many variants, I guess, in the way of Street Fighter 2. This has been requested by 3 or 4 of the listeners. And so when my pal David Ray reached out and said, do you want to talk Street Fighter 2? I reluctantly said yes. I am fucking horrible at Street Fighter 2. But my guest, Mr. David Ray, is not as horrible as I am at Street Fighter 2. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well, yeah.
So you wanted to talk about this game.
Well, I kind of figured... Like, you haven't done too many arcade games. I'm like, oh, that's also a part of, like,
yep,
growing up and
totally
from a long time. And especially Street Fighter 2 is probably one of the quintessential arcade games.
Yeah,
it was one of the, in that era of, like, last great arcade games. Where you'd, like, pump in a bunch of quarters. Like, it's different now because everybody has, like, the shooters and the rail shooters.
Yeah.
There's nothing it's not like you go to the arcades or anything like that anymore.
No. And like, dude, I mean, even myself, like I grew up on an army base and there was like a little canteen in there and they had like three or four arcade machines in there. That was a little clean. It's the only arcade I ever been to was that three or four machines.
Right.
And one of them was Street Fighter 2. Like yeah, it was everywhere, at least during the 90s anyways, or the early 90s.
Yeah, precisely. Like if you ever went to like a random 7-Eleven, you're going to find a Street Fighter game, most likely. Yeah, the only other ones that kind of competed with it are Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Especially like Street Fighter 2 came out first, and then Mortal Kombat 2 came out, and then mm-hmm. it was like, oh, then you'd have the debate with your friends
yeah.
which one's better. But I was like definitely a Street Fighter guy.
Because I owned Mortal Kombat 2. I mm-hmm. sucked at it too. So just quickly, David and I just played a couple rounds of Street Fighter 2 on my Super Nintendo Classic, and he fucking worked me. And that was after I tried to play it over the last couple of days to just refresh into my mind. And I can set it to the easiest setting and not get through two fights on the, like, I guess you'd call
through
it like
two characters
mode.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm so bad at it. And I sucked at Mortal Kombat 2 as well.
Yeah.
I guess I liked it a little better because I owned it. But honestly, just in like the hour I've played of Street Fighter 2 in the last couple of days, it's the better game. Like, it looks better. It handles better. It almost looks like a cartoon as opposed to Mortal Kombat, which is going for that more serious, mature, I guess, for lack of a better term, fighting style.
Yeah, that's how they try to like get over on Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Street Fighter had that benefit of, you know, because we had talked about Punch-Out in the past, how yep. like those characters look so great.
Yeah.
And especially for the NES. And I feel like Street Fighter was that next evolution.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, yeah, it kind of playing it on the console does it a bit of a disservice because, you know, that game is kind of a, I feel like, simplified down even from the arcade version, because the arcade version looks better in the arcade.
That's with most arcade ports, though. You know, like some of the Turtles games are arcade games that got ported to consoles and stuff like
and
that.
They look and better on the, like, the Turtles 2 is a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I love Turtles 2, you know, but it looks better on it. They're just arcade cabinets. There's something about the arcade cabinets. It's just,
well, they can dedicate a lot more power to, or like a RAM to the game kind of thing.
And I think that, like, and I don't know, I think most people that have played arcade versions of games would agree, there's just something different about playing it at the arcade machine, like about standing up or whatever and having the joystick and the big loose
joystick
buttons.
was going to be my big thing, especially with Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the moves that I was doing there, it's the controller. You need, for instance, Ryu's fireballs, down, forward punch. The thing is that down forward is kind of like in that weird thing on a controller.
Totally. Whereas on a joystick, it's a fluid motion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so it's a slightly trickier, or like it feels weird on the thumb, I would say, on the controller.
I get that. I always found that even when you play like you played Final Fantasy VI.
Not six. No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
So in Final Fantasy VI, there's one of the characters, and oh god, if I, there's nerds yelling at me right now. The muscle builder. The muscle builder. God damn it. Anyway, there's the brothers, and it's one of there's two brothers, and one is like a prince, and then one is like he ran off and became like a muscle builder. I can't believe I can't think of his fucking name. But anyway, his special like ability in the game is you can put in combos to do moves.
Oh, sure.
And and same thing. Some of the moves you have to use a diagonal as part of it. And I've always struggled with that on a D-pad. I know some people, maybe I have little thumbs, like some people get it. I've never been able to do that properly.
Yeah, it just feels unnatural. And that's why some of those moves, like for instance, you know, the dragon uppercut by Ken and Ryu is, it has like a weird, it's something like down, forward, up. Like, and it's a weird combination. And that's specifically noticeable on the D-pad where it's like your thumb is going around it weirdly. And,
I mean, obviously it was a port just to straight up to cash in, right? You're Capcom. You're like, we have one of the most valuable video games on the planet right now. Let's get it on everything we can possibly get
it
on to sell it, right? I have no problem with that. But yeah, that's just, I feel like that with most games, anything that was originally designed for an arcade cabinet can make a successful transition to a home console, but it just, there's something about it, you know, and it just loses something in the translation, right?
Although the out of the ports, the Super Nintendo was obviously better because they actually had the six buttons because
Right with the LRs.
LRs. Because like the L was the strong punch and the right was the strong kick.
Oh, I see.
See, because that's how it works, right?
Right.
The You had like the quick but weak punches and kicks.
Oh.
The medium.
Oh, geez. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just literally, like, for anyone, like, I bash, I just mash buttons. I
were
don't
you doing,
know.
Like, the, what is it, the Y and the B?
Mm-hmm.
Those were all the weak punches.
Oh, that's, well, there you go. That's why.
They're quick, but they don't do anything, yeah.
I didn't realize that. Okay, so that makes more sense then, because they've been announcing games for the upcoming Sega Genesis Mini that's coming out.
Yeah.
Like, they already released one, but it sucked at Games Made It. So now Sega's, in, like, taking the reins, and they're going to release a new one in September. And Street Fighter 2, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the games that's been announced for it.
Oh, that's going to be weird. Because I was going to say that was the worst port, because the Genesis only had three buttons.
See, now, and my pal Chris is a big Genesis nerd, and he texted me right after it came out, and he was like, that's not going to be cool, because the Genesis is shipping with the three... Now, there are six-button Genesis
but they were like, they were special, like,
yeah.
They weren't the standard ones.
And and I already looked into that, and it looks like they are manufacturing six button controllers for it if you want them, but they are going to be sold separately. You're not going to get one with your Sega Mini.
Yeah.
And like, I could give a fuck because I'm never playing Street Fighter again after this podcast because I'm so fucking bad at it.
Just going to throw it away.
Yeah. But for people that are like diehard into it, yeah, they were like, fuck, that's one of the games people most want to play on a classic console, and they're going to have to buy new controllers to play it.
Yeah.
Whereas you're right, at least with the Nintendo, it's got, I never thought of that. I always thought four buttons, but yeah, I guess the shoulder buttons tack in two more punches.
Although it's not great either.
Sure.
To be fair, because that is such an unnatural, like, you're trying to do like a, especially if you're doing like a strong punch,
yeah,
special maneuver, and you got to like move your thumb and use your index,
yeah, yeah,
on,
yeah,
the same hand.
It's funny because like when I think of, like, I mean, obviously by today's standards, like, I'm pretending I'm holding a controller, but when you play like by today's standards, the triggers are some of the most critical buttons on the controller, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it's your shoot button or what have you, things like, you can hold them and it's no problem. But like on the Super Nintendo, like for the most part, those were like, they would move the camera or like little things like that. You know what I mean? They weren't always like considered like the A, B, X, Y buttons.
Right.
They were like we need an extra button to do something, so throw this one in there.
And you
so
can
I
see it in
that.
The design, because like the new controllers have it so that it feels natural to hit the shoulder buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Super Nintendo, it's such a thin controller.
Yeah.
It feels weird in the hand,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
hit those shoulder buttons.
Yeah, on the current ones, like it's almost got that dome where it, like it literally feels like a trigger on like a gun,
yeah,
like, that your finger sits in, yeah.
So it's not so bad, but...
So... Okay, so you know what? There's two main things I want to ask you about. So we'll,
sure,
start with you. Why did you said that you beat this, you were a Street Fighter kid. So how,
yeah,
what's going on there?
Well, one of the reasons I want to talk about it is the only game I ever beat in an arcade.
Okay.
Because I think beating games in the arcade is kind of a rarity. Like, how many?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Because usually... And I, like mine wasn't some major accomplishment. I had to use four quarters to do it, but
right.
I used Blanca.
Okay.
And, you know, I just happened to find the right combination of, I would do, it was very cheap. I would just kind of jump in, do with a jump kick, and then get in so close, just like I was doing to you. And
yeah,
as you were standing up, I would hit that, the mid-level kick,
right,
which is this like two-hit knee attack, and it'd do so much damage relatively for such a quick attack.
Right.
So, and I would just do that again and again and again, and I was able to, along with a couple of other, you know, hit him with the shock.
That fucking shock.
Shock,
yeah.
Yeah. Mashing the punch button where you didn't need any skill.
Right.
Yeah, and I happened to get through the original Street Fighter 2. That was not turbo or anything.
Yeah, so because the one we were just playing had 12 characters.
Yes.
And so so the one you were playing, the original arcade game, was eight characters, and
that's
then the
right.
other four are like the bosses, right?
Yeah.
The four you'd fight at the end of the game.
Yeah, okay. Balrog, Vega, Sagat, and Major Bison.
And Bison, he looks badass.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously in future releases, they made those guys playable.
Yes, it was like right in the second, you know, whatever, I think it was Championship Edition,
mm-hmm,
where they added those four, and then after that came Turbo, where they added the speed,
right,
variation.
It's like, it's funny, because it's almost like pre-DLC,
yes,
DLC.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, hey, for an extra, like, $60 for another cart, or whatever it is, you can have these other four characters, or you can have Turbo, or... Like, I guess because they were probably releasing new arcade or machines with like those types of things. In,
yeah,
them, right?
the cabinets were always being released. Although for Super Nintendo and Genesis, they only released the one, which was Turbo,
oh, okay,
which was kind of like the farthest along,
Right.
It was. I think it was the third one to come out.
Be like buying the deluxe version of a game today.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude, even when I went to like look up the game, I was like, because I know nothing of Street Fighter other than my very minimal playing it as a kid. And I look it up and it was like Street Fighter 2 Hyper Turbo Edition. And I was like, what the fuck? He's throwing words on the back of it. But yeah, apparently.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I was like, how is it Hyper Turbo? But I suck at it. But I get it. So that's, I've never beat an arcade game.
Yeah,
that's
fucking,
and on four quarters, considering those games were designed.
And I was like 12 or whatever it was.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, I remember, like, the arcade game I've played the most of my life is probably Turtles in Time. And I've never beaten it on an arcade because I ran out of money.
Yeah.
But like, those games were designed to eat quarters.
Yeah.
Like, they were,
that's the point of them. Yeah.
Right. So to beat it on four quarters, so you'd have to win, what, 12 battles? 12 fights?
Well, it would be 24 rounds, technically. You'd have
Holy
to beat...
shit.
Because technically, when you beat a person, you have to, like, win a best out of three.
Oh, right. So, right. So you have to beat each guy twice.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Holy shit, yeah. That's pretty good. So, because I guess you could, like... I mean, in theory, I guess you could beat it...
In one.
If you had the patience and you just kept pumping in quarters, you could constantly continue, right?
Yes, that's
correct. But, like, to do it on four sounds pretty fucking good to me.
Man. Yeah. Well... Especially for like, I feel like a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
No shit.
I don't know if I'd have a lot of quarters.
Right. Yeah. When I was 12, I don't know if I'd ever beaten a video game, much less an arcade machine like this.
Yeah.
So then, did you ever play it like against other people too? Because I remember that being huge. I just never got involved in it.
It was like a couple of times, and I got tuned. I remember it very distinctly because the guy was like, I don't know, 10 years older than me, and he knew all the moves for Guile, and he had this combo which was impossible to beat because he knew how to do the moves exactly.
Right.
Where he'd send like whatever Guile's sonic boom, like the little projectile across the screen,
okay,
forcing you to jump. And if you try to close, he'd either keep hitting you with those sonic booms, or you try to jump, and Guile has this flip kick, this flash kick,
right?
And it was unblockable, like you couldn't do anything.
He'd corner you.
Well, he wouldn't have to corner. He would just stay in the corner and just like force you to come to him. But if you were Blanka, especially Blanka was bad because Blanka had nothing to get around those things. You'd have to physically jump over it,
right?
But so he just beat me so easily because I had no way to... He would have to screw up his special maneuver, and he never screwed up his special maneuvers.
See, now here's part of my beef with fighting games, because I don't hate fighting games. My problem is just that I suck at fighting games. But one of my problems with fighting games is, and this to me is a debate to be had, when someone's doing something like that, are they good or are they cheap? Because I admittedly... I'm very cheap. That's the only way I can win in a fighting game is to be just cheap as fuck. Just find a move that kind of works and spam the shit out of it and hope whoever I'm fighting isn't good enough to figure out how to counterattack my cheap combo.
Well, and I think that really shows a person's skill that, because it is possible to overcome that, and especially in future editions of all these fighting games.
Totally.
As
they tweak and
morph
and stuff. Yeah.
Because even like Blanka... They tweaked his special maneuvers along with all of them to kind of give him more options.
Right.
Especially now when they have the way combos work and it's blocks work and everything, it's far more technical than it was in these days. And those were all added to counter some of these cheap players.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you'd still have to. Fighting cheap could work,
right?
But if you had the patience to learn how to block and do all the stuff, then it's.
But when it's on an arcade machine and you need to pump in 25 cents to go to school over and over and over again, that's
a hard thing to do. Yeah,
you know,
and to have that discipline because you want to go so aggressively in those games.
Yeah,
like,
But
blocking is such a key element to that game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's, you know what? It's funny because it's the only type of video game, like the only genre of video game on the planet that I prefer to watch to play than playing. And it's not just Street Fighter 2. It's any, like, dude, you watch two people that are good at this, two people that are good at Smash.
Yeah.
Smash is fucking incredible. Killer Instinct. I remember playing Killer Instinct on the Super Nintendo. I love watching people that are good. That it's almost like watching chess. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, I love watching like the way, like you were saying when you were, teaching me / beating my ass at Street Fighter, you were like, half the time you throw a move out there just as a way to make them, they have to dodge this, and now you've set them up to land perfectly for where you want to do X. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And
or at least that's the theory anyways.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I don't have the talent or patience to learn that, but I think it's awesome. Like, I really do appreciate, and that's why, like, this is one of those games, as much as I suck at it, I appreciate it, because I'm like, there's, even just playing it for the last couple hours on my Super Nintendo, I'm like, there's obviously an incredibly deep skill set to this game if you're willing to put the time and effort into learning all the counters to all the different characters and what can you do. You know, you find your main, obviously, and then you figure out how is my main best to counterattack anything anybody else is going to do, right?
Precisely, yeah.
And it's chess. It's like very fast chess. I think it's pretty cool, man.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission: to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. Crash Plan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, Crash Plan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo, Crash Plan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a Crash Plan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. Crash Plan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. Crash Plan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with Crash Plan.
I should mention about Street Fighter. I think you'd be remiss if you didn't talk about, like, we've been talking about mechanics, but like, there's also like the actual game itself. And do you know Pete Holmes? Oh, yeah, of course you do.
Yep.
He did on his TV show, Street Fighter Red Tape.
Okay.
And you can find them all on YouTube now. They're from his old TV show, where it's like a guy in HR talking with all of these fighters, and they're pointing out like the character's weird quirks all the way through. And it makes a good point, because Street Fighter has like one of the wildest. It's like in that same realm as Punch-Out, where it's like very, you know, stereotypical.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The worst being, I think, Dalzim, the guy from India who does yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Yoga. Yeah, yeah. He's
like all stretchy and stuff like
stretchy.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Like, and of course, there's the weird thing of, I don't know if you noticed, he has like a, you know, a necklace of skulls around his neck. You know, like,
notice.
Yeah.
But holy shit. Yeah. That's,
you know, like, like yoga.
Yeah, like yoga.
Like Buddhist yoga. Fuck. Masters.
It is
have.
Totally. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
And they're small skulls, so they have to be children, right? Like, right. Those are child skulls.
No, they're bats. They're bats. Those are bat skulls.
And like, none of the things make sense. Like how does teleporting, how does blowing fire, like, none of it has to do with yoga or...
But that's what you do. Like you said, it is. It's like Punch-Out. What you do is you pick a I don't know what the word, you pick a nationality, and you want to put a fighter from that nation in the game, and you're like, okay, if we just turn the stereotype meter up to 12, what comes out?
Like, beyond what?
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, that comes out. Okay, well, that's our fighter now. Like, it's, but you know what?
I don't know if, that's why it's like, it just like with Punch-Out, I'm like, I don't know how that game would be made today in today's climate. Like, the only reason you can keep making Street Fighter games is like, well, they were the old fighters from before. Like, you could not make the new...
No, you could get away with copying the old ones over. And that's one of the things, like, and I don't want to make this into Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat, because I don't know enough about either one to have the debate anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember playing Mortal Kombat 2 as a kid, and, like, and it was, like Scorpion was there, and Sub-Zero, and there was, like, Johnny Cage, I think his name was, who was, like, a movie actor who was also a fighter and shit like that, right?
Well, he's supposed to be... quick little note about that. That was supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They were trying to get him, actually, and to allow that likeness, but he wouldn't do it. So they just made, Johnny Cage. Like
Shaq Fu style, but with a good fighter. Like a good... Shaq is awesome, but like an actual fighter to put into a game.
They wanted Jean-Claude because he would have made sense. Like, he would have been huge
for
them.
That would have been rad, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, especially with the whole like motion capture that they did.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he even has like this, does the split punch like Jean-Claude does.
That's it,
right?
Yeah. I love the split punch. So yeah, like, but you see, I prefer that. Like, Mortal Kombat looked cool, and I like how they almost...
I don't think it was as mechanically as refined.
Not as close. Not even close. And I like the over-the-top, borderline offensive characters. You know what I mean? Like Punch-Out. Like, I love Punch-Out.
They're very dynamic. And that's the one thing that they do have. Yeah.
And I will say, like, knowing nothing of Street Fighter, like, I know the screen right away, those iconic yellow bars at the top, and you know what I mean? Like, and then
the music's
turn it on.
Amazing.
The music's sick. Like, it really, to this day, like, I'm just looking up quickly how old this game is, because I want to see. March 1991 was when it originally released.
Yeah, that's like early era... Super Nintendo.
Yeah. So that's 28 years ago. And I don't care what you say, like, the game still looks great today. Like, that game, like, just playing it right there. And I'm biased Super Nintendo guy who thinks most Super Nintendo games have held up. Okay. But I'm like, this one, most Super Nintendo games, I think, hold up because the sprites look cool and people like that sprite style. This just looks like a cartoon. Like, it looked awesome. It was
absolutely
so colorful, you know?
Well, and that's where Super Nintendo has that distinction of being like, it mastered 2D gaming, right? Like, there's nowhere to go from it. Whereas the 64 had to kind of reset.
Yeah.
Like, it was 3D, but they were just learning
Square
it,
one,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be curious then, if like, so do Die Hard, and maybe you don't know this, like, so are Die Hard super competitive Street Fighter 2 players, do they prefer, I would have to assume they prefer playing it on an arcade machine than one of the home versions like this, because of the joystick and the six buttons. I don't know, but I would assume that, like, if you were really competitive,
the Super Nintendo version, then yes, they would prefer the arcade cabinets. But because the controllers today have like the joystick,
right?
I don't think it matters as much.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess, like, because I think it's been released on like PS4 and stuff.
Yeah,
like, I think it's on the arcades and things. And as long as you've got the analog stick, it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've released Street Fighter 2 on the newer systems. I just know, like, people have just evolved with it, and so now it's like Street Fighter 4 or 5.
Right.
Although, to be fair, this is starting to get out of my depth because I don't play the new ones.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like, I was like, I didn't want to throw you under the bus and be like, here comes Street Fighter 2 super guy, like, nerd David Ray. Just a dude that liked playing it growing up. That's all the game's supposed to be. So then my other big question, and this...
I actually read the comics.
Oh, really?
They had comics about it, about the story behind it. It's the stupidest story in the world.
Like, so what is this story supposed to be? Like, is it just like a tournament?
It's the dumbest thing you could possibly imagine. And they made a movie about it, too, and it's kind of in that regard.
It's actually, like, it's a huge franchise. Like, Street Fighter, and I think this was the, pardon me, I think this was the game that really... Like, Street Fighter 2 is the one that really kickstarted that franchise, right? Like, I mean,
The Street Fighter 1 was not even a game. Like,
was the one that blew up. And
yeah.
Then there was comic
because they
books.
Figured it out.
Right. So, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So, what's the story? So, what is the basic story behind Street Fighter?
So, Major Bison is like this ruler of this, I think it's Thailand, maybe, or like maybe he's not, but he's overtaken it somehow.
Okay.
And he's like this person who is the head of something called Shadow Law and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Shadow Law has like these four people in it, and that's Balrog, Vega, and Saget.
Okay.
It's a weird collection because like one's a bullfighter, one's a boxer, and one's just like a guy who's really good at kickboxing.
Yeah,
I don't know how these four are at the head of like a major crime syndicate.
Okay.
But a lot of the other characters are there trying to take down Major Bison.
Okay.
Like Chun-Li is supposedly a cop of some sort.
Oh, okay.
That's trying to like go in and take him down. And,
okay.
You know, Guile is special forces. Like in the movie, Guile, played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Nice.
Is the main character. Although, usually Ryu is the...
That's who I think of as first. Ryu, yeah.
But he was not the main character in the movie.
Okay.
But, you know, that's essentially what it's about. Taking down this guy, Major Bison. and Major Bison puts on this street fighting tournament. And it's and this is where I go back to the Street Fighter Red Tape, where those sketches break down how ridiculous of a tournament it is,
right.
Like how expensive it is to go to. If you're fighting Ryu, you have to fly to Japan,
yeah.
And then I'm going to take on Blanka next. I'm going to fly all the way to South America to challenge, and then fly, you know,
around the world.
Yeah, like why would you? Why not have it in a central location?
Yeah, fly all eight of or fly all of them to one place,
and then they can all fight each other.
Something. Yeah, yeah.
But
huh?
And I don't know how taking over the world has to do with this fighting tournament at all. But let's not focus on that.
Doesn't matter. You know what? Honestly, like I'm a huge story guy. When the game is driven by the story, games like RPGs or like The Last of Us is one of my favorite games ever because of the story in it and stuff like that. But when it's stuff like fighting games, Mario Kart, you know, fucking Mario games as a whole, donkey, you know, they don't need a big storyline. Just
People like Bloodsport and they're like, let's make a video game about
it.
We
have to beat up this person at the end of the day. So, all right, that's okay. Fair enough. That makes sense. So then why are all the heroes fighting each other? Or is it because the winner of the tournament gets to fight them?
I guess that's the idea. Okay. They're in this tournament against each other.
All right.
There
are diehard Street Fighter fans being like, it doesn't fucking matter. They just have to fight. Shut up.
Well, the best ending was Zangief when he wins. He's the Russian guy.
Okay.
Who, of course, his background is he's a bear wrestler.
Right.
But when he wins, he gets congratulated by Gorbachev. And they're doing like that Russian dance that where they get low and they're kicking.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, where they cross their arms and kick their legs. Yeah,
that's the ending to Zangief's win.
Oh, okay. So with each character, once you beat the game, you get to see
a unique ending.
Cool. Maybe I'll look up all the video endings just so I can, because I'll never fucking see them. So if I look it up, maybe I'll get to see them.
Yeah, I only got to see Blanka's, which I can't even remember now. It's such a minor.
Yeah,
like
it's the same. It's like in Mario Kart. On Super Mario Kart, each player like celebrates the championship slightly differently, but it's like a little quick animation, and then you're like, oh, okay, well that's what I fought all the way through this game for. It was like a 5 second thing, but it was, what can you do back in the early 90s? What the fuck else were you gonna do?
Well, yeah, the story wasn't a huge thing. A lot of it was just like, completing the game.
Just wanted to play the game.
You can like hang your hat and say, I beat Street Fighter 2.
Absolutely, yeah, right? Yeah, like, absolutely. Okay, so then my other big question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is and I would ask this to any Street Fighter fan. You just happen to be the one in front of me.
Yeah.
How the fuck? Keep in mind that in like the early 90s, we didn't have the internet and Google to just look everything up. How the fuck do you guys figure out what the combos are? Like, were they printed on the cabinet?
Sometimes, yes. I think they had a few of them on there on certain cabinets. There was sometimes it would be Game Pro type stuff.
Okay,
there were ways to find out. I feel like I saw them in those days.
Because Mortal Kombat had that too. Everyone had a fatality and stuff like that.
Could
there
have
were
been
combos
in the booklets.
To do them.
Yeah. Might have been in the book, like the game,
like the instruction
manual.
Book. Because I do remember buying Game Pros and stuff to find like some of those things back then. I guess. Yeah.
I remember having access to them, but I remember as a kid looking. That's way too many buttons to do one move. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like I looked up some of the moves yesterday when I was playing, and I was
there's
like
10
that.
Buttons.
Yeah, I was like, I can barely throw a punch. Let's fucking worry about that before I worry about any of this other shit. Oh yeah, just quickly because I have shit a lot on this game. I don't think I've shit on that much. I'm just an idiot, and I don't know how to play them.
Because like the music, like as I said, like the graphics, the mechanics make sense.
Yeah.
The music's really great. Yeah. Like, admittedly, it is like a very niche game. Like it's a style of game that if you don't like, you don't like.
Yeah. When I fired it up yesterday, I hadn't played Street Fighter 2, and since I played that arcade cabinet a couple times as a kid. I forgot that up was how you would jump.
Yeah.
And so at first I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do I jump? And then I was like, oh yeah, it's up. Which I was like, why would the fuck would they make up jump? But now you explaining how you need the 6 buttons to do all the combos. I'm like, that does make sense because I'm sure up on the joystick was how you jumped in the arcade too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, cause they need all the buttons to make all the punches and stuff work. So that does make sense.
Yeah.
I really do. I'll tell you, like, I know I've crapped on it and I hate it. I suck at it and all that stuff. I have an incredible appreciation for fighting games as a whole, and this game.
You've kind of pointed out that it's you personally.
It's totally just me. It's just me. It
because it would be frustrating to play that game. It I know I get frustrated with playing the new ones. I'm like, I can never
totally. Yeah,
I can't keep up with this anymore.
It, like the fact that the game is like as old as it is, and people still absolutely adore it and adore the mechanics and the, like you said, the combo, like even the detection in it, everything yeah. about I think Capcom does. I mean, Capcom fucks up a lot. Like, and sure. I'm not going to sit here and defend Capcom, because as much as I love Mega Man, Resident Evil, they fuck up a ton.
Yeah.
But they deserve a ton of credit for this game, because they made a game that, I mean, obviously they released a few different iterations to try to tweak it, which they could do today with DLC or updates, no problem, yeah. but they couldn't do it back then.
I think they also had actual tournaments with Street Fighter.
Right.
Then.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I'd believe that.
That's where, like, those turbo editions came into play.
Right.
But,
like, to build a game that's this old that is still this beloved, I guarantee you, like, and nobody talks about Mortal Kombat this belovedly, and I like Mortal Kombat, but nobody yeah. swears by those old games like they do Street Fighter 2. You know what I mean?
Because that,
like,
one was all about the novelty of the fatalities.
That's what it was. It was all about seeing the gory deaths, right? Yeah. Like, to me, the only, and again, not my wheelhouse, but the only other fighting game I can think of that's had a legacy like Street Fighter 2, and it's not nearly as long as Street Fighter 2's, is Smash Melee.
Yeah.
Smash Melee is one of those games that yeah. people swear by to this day, right? But so is Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll probably play it a little bit more and get mad at it and be like, fuck this. But I get it, though. That's cool, man. I'm glad that you did this one, because I really wanted to do this game because I know people like it. And I was like, I just don't get it. But now that I have someone that does, that feeds me my lunch in video games, I hope you guys all, like, the most I know of it is like is the ones, the guys that made it into Smash, and I never used them in Smash either.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun little side thing in Smash when they introduced Ryu and Ken, is like, yeah, you can use like the special button in like the normal Smash
yeah.
controllers,
yeah,
but you can do the down, yeah. down, forward, punch fireball, yeah. and it's actually a little bit more powerful or whatever.
It's rad. Like, yeah. This isn't a Smash podcast, and I don't know that much about Smash, but I like the way that they keep every fighter in the games, at least some characteristics from their original game, like in their current character,
yeah.
is really badass, you know? Well,
and that's why I love playing as Ryu, because yeah. it's like, oh, I kind of like, even without knowing Smash that well, it's like I can
right.
know how this guy moves.
Yeah, and that's really that's badass, man.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and shout out to Capcom for putting the Hadouken, that's how you say it, right? Hadouken?
Yeah. Kind of
someone's Hadouken. Someone's yelling, it doesn't matter how we yeah. say it. Shout out to them for putting that in Mega Man X, because I think that's like the coolest thing
yeah.
ever. If you get everything, you can get that. And if you can get it off and hit it, it'll kill a Robot Master in one shot, which is badass.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, it's bad. I've never been able to do it because I suck at this game. but I just love the fact, like, I just, Street Fighter 2, man, it shows up, I guarantee you right now, dude, if I have my computer right in front of me, if I Googled the 100 greatest games of all time, Street Fighter 2 is in the top 30 games of all time. It yeah. has to be. I guarantee you it is. It's got a legacy like no other fighting game in the history of video games has.
Yeah, right.
With the possible exception of Smash. And Smash's legacy just doesn't go back as far as Street Fighter 2 does.
Yeah.
There were no arcades in the early 90s eating quarters for Smash Brothers, so.
Well, because, I mean, Smash is all based on the nostalgia of all these games put together, yeah. kind of a thing. Like, yeah. that's what helps it, as well as being a really great mechanically.
Totally. But I mean, like, to me, Street Fighter 2 is is it not the Super Mario Brothers of fighting games? Like, it's the one that really...
Yeah. Like, yeah, that, I think it'd be fair to say.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the one that made them what they are.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this up, you got any other thoughts? Can we score this thing and I can go back to rage quitting Street Fighter 2?
Well, the last thing I would want to end on, I yeah. once did a sketch one time, where I would go up as Ken, and the idea of it was, it was for like kids or whatever, like this event was for kids.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm this, you know, great karate master, and I'm going to show you all my great moves from the Street Fighter when I was in the Street Fighter thing.
Yeah.
You know, but the idea of it was, I haven't done it in 20 years because this game is so old. So, like, I'm going to show you, and like, I try to do the Hadouken and I can't do it. And then I have to bring out the instruction manual, and I'm like, down, down, forward, forward, punch. Okay. And I tried, I still can't do it. And then people are like laughing at me as I'm like, can't do any of my maneuvers. Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay, well then fine. I'll show you how I'm going to do this. I try to do the spin kick, except I jump off the stage. I do the spin kick and I crash through a table that was like specifically set up to like buckle as I hit it. Yeah. And then that's the end of the sketch.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it. Fucking Street Fighter 2. David, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give Street Fighter 2? Keep in mind that, anything less... I'm not saying give it a 10, but anything, because I'm not. But anything less than a 10 is going to get shit on by the fighting community that fucking loves Street Fighter 2.
I don't know how to... Like, compared to now, I think... See, I never know how to rate it's these hard. Things. Yeah. Because it's like, do I rate it as a game back then versus now? I think if it was a game back then it's definitely got to be like a 9. Yeah. And the reason for it, because there was some stuff, there was weaknesses in there, as I pointed out. But as a game now, I think it's only lost maybe a little bit of it, maybe like an 8 now, only because it's just like there are better things out there now.
But it stood the test of time handily.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still play it now and it still feels
100%.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's still playable now.
I'm no worse at it now than I was back then. Yeah. Like, it still feels great.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. I'll give it an 8. And I think, you know what? Before you fucking freak out that it's only an 8, like, oh, I was like, that's John Cena. Is that your phone?
Yeah.
That's
a
sweet ringtone. For anyone that can't hear it, his ringtone is the John Cena theme song. That's awesome. I give it an 8. Rude. And honestly, like, that's a 10 basically because of my disdain for fighting games. That's a fucking high praise. There's never going to be we may never talk fighting games on here again. And if we do, there's not going to be one that gets the praise that I just gave Street Fighter 2. Good stuff, buddy. Thank you so much for doing this. That
yeah,
was
no
great.
Problem.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. David, thank you for coming over and talking Street Fighter 2 with me. Ben, thanks for joining me in the intro that we just recorded like 30 seconds ago. That was really cool of you. And to all of you guys that have been wanting Street Fighter 2, I hope we... Doesn't matter. I'm talking to Ben now. To all you guys that have been wanting Street Fighter 2 covered on the show, I hope I did it justice. I don't know the game well. I fucking tried. I'm going to try to dip into a few more games that I don't know that well, but I know people want to hear covered in the coming months. I'm doing my best. Honestly, I would replay all of them and get fully caught up in time for each episode if I could, but I just don't have time to play everything. So I hope we did it justice for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again in 7 days with episode 60. 60 episodes of Remember the Game. That's a whole number. Throw us a follow if you're on Twitter and Instagram. Please consider supporting us over at Patreon, patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2 gets you extra episodes, shout-outs, and entries in win a prize. And if you're going to be at the Edmonton Expo or you've ever done a panel at an expo or gone to a panel, please reach out to me on Twitter, on Instagram, or on our Facebook page through your Patreon, whatever you want. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you would go. I've got like 5 days to submit an application, and I'm really, really considering it at the risk of embarrassing myself and recording a podcast in front of a room full of nobody. So... thanks a lot, you guys, and I will check in with you again in a week. Take it easy, go play some video games, and go outside, or whatever. Okay, cheers, bye.